Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And today is Wednesday, October 12th, 2016. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Well, we have a positive day in gold today, up 210. 210 for gold in the New York spot aftermarket, 1255. Silver's up 0.08 at 1761. Little pressure on platinum, down 5 at 946. And palladium was up a buck at 652. The USDX today was just a little stronger, 0.17 at 97.89. Crude oil down a little bit, but still above 50 at 50.34. 50.34 for crude oil, down 0.45. Paper markets today. Let's see. The Dow was up 16 points, 18,144. The NASDAQ was down 777, 5,239. The S&P was up 2. At 21.39. 10-year yield, 1.78%. The euro finally dropped down to 110. It was down 0.37, a big drop for the euro today. And European markets were all down, with Japan being down over 1%. Yeah, but London and Germany are still in, you know, record territory, and not much pressure there. So we'll be talking about these markets and what's happening with oil. Oil is an interesting story. We'll talk about that after the first break, because during the first 20 minutes or thereabouts of this first segment, we have Wendy Wilson joining us from Apothecary Herbs. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody. And hello, Al.
Oh, Wendy.
Hey, I thought we'd talk about these whey protein products that a lot of people use, especially bodybuilders. They like them because, you know, it helps them bulk up. And for decades, you know, bulking up your muscles, you know, been the goal of most American males. But most people now avoid the steroids, and so they, to help them beef up, they're turning to the whey protein products. Usually you find them in bars, shakes, and so forth. So my question is, does whey, W-H-E-Y, protein in a powdered shake or whatever form, is it good for the body? Is it good for your muscles? And according to MuscleFitness.com, they said it depends on the product. So they say there's not so good whey protein products on the market. So we're going to take a look at the protein source and see if it's the very best choice that you could select if you want to build up muscle mass. Now, whey is comprised of amino acids, which are required for the muscles to grow and for energy and stamina. It also contains protein and antioxidants to assist your immune system and also to repair muscles if they need to be repaired. However, whey protein is digested differently than other proteins, and usually it's in the system and digested within 30 minutes, and all the amino acids are usually shifted to the muscles. So whey protein is typically derived from cow's milk, and we'll get to how they get it into the whey products in a little bit. It's processed from cheese, but the quality and health benefit of cow's milk has kind of been brought into question lately. A lot of people are switching to alternative milk products. So is the whey protein safe to use? Now, according to sources, there's kind of a handful of suppliers that manufacture the whey protein products. And what they do is they get the whey from manufacturers who collect this waste byproduct from cheese. So it comes from the cheese industry. And the two main manufacturers for processed whey protein are Glanbia in Ireland and Hillmar in California. So the whey is highly processed and then filtered, and it produces this, they manufacture it into a protein type of powder. And then supplement companies like Quantum and Dymatize, they order various protein powders and then add their own ingredients. They'll add flavorings and colorings, digestive enzymes, sugar, anti-caking agents, etc. So this is why there's such a variety of whey protein powders and how some are better than others. Now, some whey protein on the market only will have 35% whey protein, and those typically are the cheaper varieties. So most of the fitness people say look for the product that indicates 90% whey protein. So here's the thing, though, we need to remember is when we look at the raw milk, it has whey and casein, which is part of milk products, and it's only 20% whey and 80% casein. And whey, when it is metabolized quickly in 30 minutes, it's a protein that they're using, but the casein protein is more of a time release. It slowly feeds the body, and therefore it typically is absorbed differently, and it's in a different metabolizing feature for the body to tap into. And this may be a good thing, because according to fitness expert and author Ori Moffmeckler, he wrote the book Unlock Your Muscle Gene. He says, try to find a whey product that has casein in it, but it's going to be hard to find. And he says, besides that, he says the manufacturers use acid and heat to extract casein from raw milk, and that kills a lot of the nutrition and also produces toxic residues. They remain. So what happens is that it binds the calcium and phosphate, and in the body, as it goes through the digestive system, what happens is it can ferment in the digestive tract and then cause an increased risk of colon cancer. So, and this is probably the reason all this processing, if you've ever had a whey product, why there's aftertaste, heartburn, bloating, digestive problems, and even allergic reactions. So I wanted to ask, you know, is there a way to get protein into the system that is metabolized right and is safe for the body and does help build muscle mass and help you maintain it? So is whey protein the best source? Actually, no. You want to go with a whole food source. And according to Dr. Tom Cowan of Weston Price Foundation, he says, forget the milk products. They're bad for you. He says the milk products are you stay away from, because all those elements in milk, I had learned something when I read his report. He says that milk actually binds to our opium receptors in our brain. There's elements there that stimulate the opium receptors in milk. So this is why people get addicted to milk products. Did you know that, Al, Melanie?
I thought it was the sugar in the ice cream I was addicted to, but now you're talking about some sort of an opium thing in the milk?
Well, he says He says basically, whether it's raw or processed, he says your brain's opiate receptors react to the milk proteins, and it stimulates those receptors. Plus, he says it also disrupts your immune system function. So he says milk is not really the best protein source, especially if you want to bulk up muscle.
He's talking about all milk. He's not just talking about cow's milk. He's talking about goat's milk or whatever else you might be able to find.
He said raw or processed didn't matter. It's that. Anyway, so I wanted to look at the chlorella and spirulina because those are chlorophyll-rich sources, but they're full of protein. For instance, chlorella contains 16 grams of protein in as little as a few tablespoons. And even Dr. Oz from TV says that, you know, a beef steak has 29 to 36 grams of protein. So you're getting almost the same amount of protein as you could eating some animal foods, but with less calories, less fat, less triglycerides, and less risk of cardiovascular heart attack down the road. Also, Dr. Josh Axe, he says he switched to chlorella protein for building up muscle because not only does it have all this protein, but it has almost 30% of the recommended daily allowance of vitamin A, 71% of vitamin B2, B1, and B6, and phosphorus, 33% of your vitamin B3, 202% of iron, 22% magnesium, and 133% of zinc. So it does help your immune system and your prostate because zinc is excellent for those areas. So, and he also says that you'll have a leaner body with less unwanted fat when you switch to that protein because it has more antioxidants as well. You'll be able to dump the unwanted fat. Also, it offers you some cancer protection as well as lower your triglycerides and improve your immune system function. So it helps the immune system fight off more bacterial type of infections for some reason. So he also says that it will also help us look younger, longer. So I said, wow, you know, sign me up, right? So chlorella and spirulina protein sources going to help you build your muscles and maintain the muscle mass. I've been an herbalist for 20 years. I've used these products, these types of ingredients, and I'm just amazed every time I learn new stuff about them. I didn't use it to build muscle mass. I just used it for the way it made my body feel energized. And now I know why. It's just, you know, more protein, more vitamins and amino acids and nutrients. So have you ever tried chlorella or spirulina?
I've never tried spirulina.
I've tried
chlorella, but only in, they sell it in capsules.
Yes.
Now, and not for the purpose of making muscle mass. It's, I don't know. I don't even remember what, but I've tried it.
Yes. Well, it does come in good forms. I'm glad you mentioned it. It comes in powders, tablets, even in beverages, they add it to that. So the thing to look for if you're looking for this type of product, chlorella or spirulina, which is really rich in chlorophyll, you want to get an organic source, one that's not been exposed to radiation. So in the past, the islands of Hawaii harvested the highest quality chlorella and spirulina, but then after Fukushima hit, it kind of put a black cloud over the collecting of that product from the Pacific sources. So you want to be careful and investigate, you know, where it's coming from, where it's harvested. Even freshwater sources, you want to be careful because of pollution. You don't want it harvested from a source that has a lot of motorboats in the water. So because a lot of, if you've ever been on a lake or a stream, all that oil and stuff from the engine gets into the water. So what I've done, I've switched over to a really good company that makes farm-harvested, cultivated chlorella and spirulina, and they monitor their water quality, and also they check for radiation. They actually test it for radiation. So those are the things you want to look for if you're going to tap into that type of source for muscle improvement and nutrition and overall energy. So
how does the price of chlorella, for example, compare to the price of whey?
Well, like I said, whey is going to depending on the quality of the protein and how much of it is, if you get a 90% mix of purity whey protein, those products are going to be way over $60, $80 a canister, and a canister can be anywhere from 32 ounces or more. The cheaper varieties will be 35% whey, and you'll probably pay in the teens or not much over $20 for those. It's a gamut there. You have to read the labels. They say look for products, if you're going to use the whey, those with hydrolyzed whey protein probably be more of a purity source, and watch the nutrition. You know, those that don't have a lot of calories and sugar and things like that. So read the label real careful on there.
Do you sell those products, Wendy?
I don't sell whey protein because, you know.
Do you sell chlorella?
We do have the chlorella and the spirulina. It's included in our Body Foundation food mix. We put some of the wheat grasses and barley grass and rose hips and beetroot in that mix as well. So it's an all-around kind of nutrient source. It'll cover much of your mineral and vitamin needs, as well as 22 amino acids, and of course your plant proteins are in there. And it's gluten-free. It's not a wheat berry source, so wheatgrass is not glutinous, so you don't have to worry about allergies to wheat. So we do, and it's one of the items people usually get introduced to when they do their cleansing, because it gives them such a lift nutritional-wise, because as you cleanse, you'll get rid of toxins, but some nutrition can go too, so you want to refortify, and that's how they discover that item.
How much chlorella should you be taking a day?
I don't overdo it. Usually a tablespoon of the body food mix, and it's not all total 100% chlorella in that one tablespoon. So if you're using just a straight up chlorella product, probably a quarter to a half a teaspoon be enough.
But you're not talking, that's enough for health benefits, but you're not talking about increasing muscle mass.
Well, if you want to increase muscle mass, you probably have to go into the one or two tablespoon serving. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I know you want to build up muscle there, Al?
Well, do I have to exercise, or does it just, the muscle just comes on automatically? I take a teaspoon and I look like Arnold Schwarzenegger back in the day.
Yeah,
do I actually have to lift weights?
I think some light workout would be good. I don't think you have to get into a real strict heavy duty regimen like you would if you were trying out for some sort of competition. But, you know, just if you got some, you know, 5 or 10, maybe 15 pound weights that you want to just lift every day, I think that'd be fine, you know, and just keep those muscles toned.
How soon do you think you could see a result? I mean, I know how this is with a lot of vitamins.
Sure.
I'll get some of the vitamin du jour, and I will try it today, and I really feel invigorated.
Right.
But after about a month or so, it kind of wears off.
Okay, there's a couple reasons for that. But to answer your first question, if you're using a whole food plant source, probably within 3 months you'll see a difference. Okay, give it time, because it depends on how depleted this system is, how your nutritional stores are. And typically when people discover a supplement and it works well for a month or two, a few weeks, and then it kind of peters off like you mentioned, it's because it's not a whole food source of vitamin. It's a fractionalized, it's an isolated nutrient, and so what happens is the body has to take from its other nutritional stores.
I get you.
To fit the pieces that are missing so it can metabolize it properly.
And this is what you mean by a whole food source. You mean
right.
Not taking just one specific nutrient out of that food.
Right.
You're talking getting all the nutrients, and the food itself should basically balance those nutrients. Is that true?
That's true. Like calcium, if you want calcium, you have to have two parts calcium, one part boron and magnesium, and your whole food sources have that ratio, whereas your supplements do not, and milk does not.
All right.
Yep.
Well, where can people find more information on chlorella and spirulina?
I think you just give me a call at thepowerherbs.com. Our number is toll free at 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663. Thepowerherbs.com is the website, but I'm in the office from 9 to 5.
All right, Wendy. We've still got another 45 seconds here. I kind of rushed you on.
I have a question for you, Wendy. What is the shelf life on something like on the on the packaged food?
Yeah, great question. If you're using powdered forms, typically 5 years if you store them appropriately away from heat and light and away from moisture. So they're not required to be in a fridge. Just, you know, an environmentally controlled space is good. Your capsules and tablets, about the same amount of time. If you're using liquids, it depends on what it is, anywhere from 5 years or more, depending on liquid. So, you know, it just, you store appropriately and you can really extend the life. I've used liquids longer than 10 years. They've been great.
All right,
Wendy, thanks very much. That's Wendy Wilson from thepowerherbs.com, 866-229-3663. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom, and we will be back on Financial Survival in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Many, many people have experienced the benefits of drinking all-natural Life Change Tea. The unique blend of 8 herbs helps detoxify your body so you can live a healthier life. Numerous testimonies have been given about the benefits of drinking Life Change Tea. So, are you drinking Life Change Tea? Interested? Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Many are so impressed with our product, they order a year's supply. And why not? When they do, they receive 2 months free. That's a $70 savings. The body is meant to heal itself. Sometimes the body just needs a little help. Get the tea at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or call us at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. This is not an ordinary green tea and is not available in stores. This tea helps with digestive problems, acid reflux, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and as talk show host Jerry Doyle says, it'll make you as regular as a baby bird. Enjoy your life. Get Life Change Tea at GetTheTea.com.
Hi folks, I'm Alfred Addisk, and this is Financial Survival. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom, co-host and owner-operator of Discount Gold and Silver, our main sponsor. What's next, Melody?
Well, I do have a little special today. This is something a little bit different. Oftentimes on the program, we run specials on Morgan Silver Dollars and Silver Eagles at 90%, and very little on the Peace Dollar, because usually the circulated Peace Dollars, because of their design, they got a little more beaten up, and, you know, they just didn't seem to hold their sharpness and so forth. But I was able. We got a bunch of brilliant uncirculated Peace Dollars. So, and they're just absolutely stunning. They're just beautiful. And the Peace Dollar, when it is pure like that and beautiful and white, they are very nice. And the Peace Dollars were minted from 1921 through 1928. 1921 was the only year that the Peace and the Morgan Dollars were minted together. So the Peace Dollars were minted from 1921 through 1928, and then again from 34 to 35. Most of these will be in the 20s that we have. And what I find interesting about the Peace Dollar is the history of it. A little bit is with the passage of the Pittman Act of 1918, it required the Treasury Department to produce millions of new silver dollars to replace the more than 270 million silver dollars that were melted and sold as bullion to the British immediately after the war. So the silver dollar that was designed to accomplish both of these tasks has come to be known as the peace dollar. So we have a tube of 20 peace dollars, brilliant uncirculated, and we also added a 1/10 ounce American gold Eagle coin. This includes your shipping costs, and the total is $710. $710 for a tube of 20 brilliant uncirculated peace dollars. 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle includes all your shipping costs, and we have quite a few of these packages available. And if you just want the peace dollars, make sure you give us a call. We can do that for you also. So that's 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com.
There's an article here from 24 Hour Gold. Ron Paul says, gold going up, whether Trump or Clinton is elected. His essential argument is he's saying, regardless of who is elected, neither is going to create more stability in the markets. He says it's not going to happen. Politically speaking, there's going to be a lot more uncertainty, and that may go into the market. If people are depending on political stability to get the market going, I don't think it's going to work out. He says, I think the election is up for grabs. It will depend on how many people stay at home. People are so disgusted with the two candidates that it's pretty hard to predict which will prevail, he said. For Paul, it doesn't matter what the outcome is in November, as he doesn't see much of a difference between the two parties. Ron Paul says, nothing ever really changes regardless of which party wins. Government keeps growing. The deficits keep growing. And the Federal Reserve keeps borrowing and printing more money. Now, I don't necessarily agree with Ron Paul on this.
No, I don't either.
I agree that history has pushed us in a way that makes that seem to be true, but the truth is government can't keep growing. Government can't keep growing the deficits. And government can't keep borrowing and printing more money. Right? There's a problem. There are limits. People operate on the assumption the government can keep spinning currency out of thin air forever and somehow hold the... And I'm saying, no, I don't think so. I don't know precisely where the limits are, but it seems certain to me. And I don't think there's any doubt about this. It's always failed when we have a fiat monetary system. They always fail. Everybody thinks this time it's different. This time we're really smart. No, you're not. You got a fiat monetary system. It's going to blow up in your face, although it's not necessarily clear when that explosion will take place. Ron Paul continues, though. He says there is one area of the market that the former libertarian, the article continues, says there's one area of the market that the former libertarian Republican presidential candidate sees as flourishing in the long term, and that's gold. According to Paul, if the economy is truly getting better, that would be better for gold long term. Short term, gold has taken a big hit and it could very well go down more, but it's still up 10% from a year ago. Paul noted that gold has returned 300% since the year 2000, while NASDAQ has rallied just 6%. He goes on, he says, the laws of economics are more powerful than all the politicians and all the bankers. It's just that it's erratic and very up and down and takes a while to sort out. But believe me, gold prices are going up, and that again from Ron Paul, former Republican candidate for president, former congressman, so on. Anyway, Paul believes gold's going up.
You know,
in short term, maybe not, but medium term, long term, yeah, buddy.
You know, I agree with him. There's no differences between the parties, but there is a difference between the candidates. And but you still have the office, which is, you know, to me, you're still going to be a controlled to some degree by what you can and can't do. I think the bigger election also, can the Republicans keep, you know, control of the offices that they have. But, you know, they're going to fight Trump all the way anyway, just because they don't like him. So, you know, the prices are going higher. I think we have found a bottom. at these levels. There really isn't anything much more in the news except for the rate increase. So the Fed released their minutes from September 20 to 21st. And I mean, there's nothing shocking in there, nothing, any difference as should we or shouldn't we. And maybe relatively soon, you know, there might be a quarter point rate hike. I mean, you know, come on, guys, you know, they're being very cautious. There isn't going to be any changes before the election. Well, they're not going to raise rates before the election.
No, not before the election. We have a month to go, or less than a month to go.
And what we see in today's market is pretty much what we're going to see until after the election, unless something from left field happens. And we could see. But for my figures, gold is much more than 10% for the year.
Yeah.
And Ron Paul now works for Porter Stansberry. So just Google Porter Stansberry, and I can't figure that one out. With Mr. Paul, because I've always respected the gentleman, but he's spot on, and he confirms what we say, Al.
I understand.
He confirms that gold prices and silver prices are going higher, and you have to be positioned properly in order for it to work for you. So, and that's the key. And paper gold, because I know Stansberry promotes a lot of paper. Paper gold is not real gold. So don't get confused thinking if you're holding some paper that you're protected by owning gold. No, you're not. So just be careful there, folks.
Paper is merely a promise to pay. That's all it is. It's an IOU. If you've got wealth stored in a form of paper, you have IOUs. And you have it at a time when all of the debt that's out there, which is all of the debt, is nothing but a promise to pay. That's what debt is. And if you're storing your wealth in the form of a piece of paper at a time when we have $20 trillion that they admit to in the national debt, and perhaps over $200 trillion, according to the Congressional Budget Office and economist Lawrence Kotlikoff, you look at this, you do the math, and it becomes apparent that they can't pay the debt, which means a lot of these promises, probably, I'm guessing, 80 to 90% of the existing debt, the existing promises to pay, I don't think it can be paid. Yet 10-20% is going to be paid. I could be wrong. It might be 50%. But if you're sitting on a piece of paper, the odds are at least 1 in 2 that you're going to lose your assets.
There was another report out this week by the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. It was a survey, and it talks about the U.S. consumers' debt, and this debt burden is beginning to weigh more heavily on them. But the survey reported the highest probability of missing a minimum debt payment over the next 3 months in September since February 2014. It's the highest. It's the highest probability. I'm sorry, it's the highest probability of missing a minimum debt payment over the next 3 months in September since February. Yeah.
Minimum,
not a
debt payment, a minimum.
Yeah,
debt
minimum.
Payment,
which means you're not getting anywhere.
People don't have.
Yeah.
What's the minimum in most instances?
$10. $15.
I understand.
They don't have but. What's interesting about this report or the survey from the Federal Reserve is naturally it's almost a given that, you know, it's been most pronounced among those earning, you know, the least amount of income. But higher income respondents are seeing higher chances of missing a payment as well. So those with a better income, a higher income, so it's not looking good for those people either. So they're coming out and saying, hey, we have a problem too.
Well, the whole idea behind buying gold, from my perspective, the fundamental, the big idea, is that it's a hedge against paper dollars, which are nothing but debt instruments. They are promises to pay that will not be kept, at least not by the Federal Reserve and or the federal government. The only people who redeem your promise to pay that's inherent in every piece of paper that you have are your neighbors. They didn't issue the green pieces of paper, but they're the ones that redeem them when they sell you a car, a truck, a boat, a TV set, whatever. They're redeeming these green pieces of paper. Government issues these. The Federal Reserve issues these green pieces of paper, but they don't redeem them. This is like me getting a hold of a checkbook and just keep signing my name. I'm going to buy a new Rolls Royce today. But the check will never be charged against my account. Then I'm going to get myself a mansion. Then I think I'll buy the county, then the state, then the country. As long as I can't be directly charged with paying for the debts that incur when I write these checks, I can rule the world. And that's what the government is essentially doing. They don't redeem their own debt instruments. They've talked you and me and Melody into redeeming their debt instruments. And it's no wonder that government grows bigger. Of course it does. It's like me. I could, how big could I get if I could write check after check after check and they were never charged to my account? How big could I get? You know, it's what's happening. It's part of the problem with these, and it's a kind of madness. It's a kind of insanity. It seems like a great ride for a while. It seems like somebody has invented a money tree, and oh boy, this is, you know, it's party time. But eventually, the piper is going to have to be paid, and the piper is going to be more than a little irritated when he finds out that he's not going to be paid. What are we going to do when all these promises to pay can't be kept?
Today there was a note to clients of HSBC's they sent, it was released by Murray Gunn. He's the head of a technical analysis for HSBC, and he issued a red alert for an imminent sell-off in stocks given the price action over the past few weeks. And what he tracks and so forth, it shows that, you know, we're really close for it to have like a 1987 stock market crash. Well, it's going to be worse than that. But for comparison's sake, it's the markets that he sees, that the stock market moves that he's comparing, it looks very similar to those just before the 1987 stock market crash. Even Citibank's analysts also highlighted that the market similarities to the 1987 crash. He also agreed to that just a few days ago. So here you're having a couple of these top analysts from, you know, HSBC, Citibank, saying, hey, you know, it looks like these U.S. stock markets are going to sell off, and they're going to sell off aggressively here in the very new future. And yesterday was a sign. Now, to me, 200 points, you know, is that the start of the trend of it going down, or, you know, is it just getting weak? I still think you're going to trade between these levels until it breaks out to the downside. Then it's just going to fall like a hot knife through butter. But so again, more notification. They're telling you.
And they're not the only ones.
Of course, they're the ones that they trade on. They're you know, they release this information so they can trade on the information. I get that. So, you know, I'm not giving them all this great credit because they're coming out trying to warn you. They want to trade you. They want to offer you something so they can trade you into something else. I get that. But I do believe, and I do agree with them, that we are close to it. But you can never, ever underestimate their power to keep these things going just a little bit longer. But I think
after the election,
I think is,
I understand.
Through March. Now, coming the 14th, I guess, which is Friday, the new rules for the money market accounts go into effect. So not sure if we'll see any impacts. You know, is this a lead up to that? And there's been estimates that you'd have about, $300 billion dollars leave the money market accounts because of this new ruling and so forth. So are we going to, it was yesterday, maybe a walk up to, you know, the big day on Friday. Don't know. You know, I don't think they're going to do anything silly to the markets prior to the election, so.
I don't think they'll do anything intentional, that's for sure. But again, you know, the idea that they can always do something, they've always got a little more. The day's going to come when they don't. All right, and there's the problem. They can't do this. You know, they might be able to sustain the system for another week or another month or maybe even another year, for all I know. But no one looks at this and thinks to themselves, well, this is all going to work out. Well, this thing will happen. Well, this will work out. And here's an interesting evidence of that. The problem we're facing, this is from Catherine Austin Fitz. She was interviewed by Greg Hunter on USAWatchdog.com. And she says in the headline, controlled demolition coming. She thinks it'll be essentially a soft landing, no, not a crash. But she also points out, says renowned investment advisor Catherine Austin Fitz, says there is $9.3 trillion missing from the Department of Defense in 2015 alone. Fitz explains this is a phenomenal number and a phenomenal amount of money. This is the cut and run. All this money has been disappearing from the federal government. Now, what's going on, Melody? She didn't explain what she meant by the cut and run, but what I think it means is that she's saying people are looting the federal government right now. They know this thing's going down. They say, I'm getting mine, and to heck with the rest of them. Where did $9.3 trillion disappear to? Who got it, and where are they going with it? There's something strange happening here, folks, and it's another leaf in the breeze that says, better watch your step. We're coming to difficult times. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
Well, I just wanted to say something about Catherine Austin Fitz. Yesterday, Greg Hunter had mentioned that she was one of the females who went against all the big boys, you know, 2 years ago and, you know, last year and so forth about, nothing would happen until, you know, perhaps this year or beginning of next year. And I also was one of those folks who I didn't agree with, you know, a lot of those guys, Gerald Celente, John Williams, a lot of them were saying that things were going to come undue, you know, good Lord, how many times, all these predictions and so forth. Last year, July, I mean, how many times have we said on this program and myself to my clients that, nope, it's not going to happen. Nope, it's not going to happen. But we are certainly a lot closer today than we were a couple of years ago. And I do disagree with her, and I respect Catherine Austin Fitz. I do disagree with her. I don't think the markets could start off soft, but once that fear overtakes, it's not going to be a soft landing in the end. And I think the only ones, the people that are going to lose the most or the ones that had their money in the stock market, it went to 6,000 and it came back, and they believe it will happen again, and they won't get out because they think it's just going to turn around and they're just going to leave their money in there. And I think they'll lose more than 70% of their money. They'll lose it all. So there's going to be a big portion of those people who think that, you know, they recovered and they got faith in the system that the markets will come back, but they won't this time. The markets aren't going to come back this time like they did the last time. And if something happens overnight or on the weekend, there's going to be no soft, you know, landing at all. As I said, for years and years, you're going to wake up one day and the whole world is going to change. The world would have changed overnight. And you're going to be running around like a chicken with its head cut off if you haven't prepared.
Greg Hunter interviewed Mike Maloney. Some of you may recognize the name. Mike Maloney is a guru in the and well respected within the gold and silver community and the rest of that sort of thing. But he says, worst crash of all coming. This is from Mike Maloney. He says, well, gold and silver expert Mike Maloney has been producing an internet series called The Hidden Secrets of Money. Episode 7 of that series is the USA's Day of Reckoning. It's going to be devastating for most people. Mr. Maloney says he believes there are going to be an enormous wealth transfer. It's up to every individual whether that wealth is transferred away from them or towards them. Some of the wealth transfer goes from 100 people to one or 1,000 people to one. It's time. It's going to be hundreds of thousands to one. There are going to be very few big winners and a whole lot of losers. Now, I agree with Mr. Maloney that we're going to see some sort of a crash, whether it's the worst of all remains to be seen. Always the worst of all is also the least likely. All right? You have to factor that into some of these predictions. But where I disagree with him particularly is he says there's going to be an enormous wealth transfer. And he's projecting that
it's already happened.
Pardon me?
It's already happened.
Well, my observation is that it's not simply going to be a wealth transfer. I don't doubt that some wealth will be transferred. For example, some people who own homes and cars and tools and land and factories will transfer ownership of those properties at very low prices to people who have real liquid assets like gold. You'll be able to buy things for a dime on the dollar. All right, and you can say this is a transfer of wealth, and that's true. That'll happen. But the real story of the next financial crisis will not be a wealth transfer so much as wealth destruction. Most of the wealth in this country, or at least much of it, I don't know how you would figure it out, I'm sure someone has, but much of the wealth of this country is nothing but paper wealth. Right? It doesn't exist in the form of, it's like they trade 100 or more ounces of gold on the gold markets for every physical. They trade 100 or more paper ounces of gold for every 1 ounce of real gold that's up there. The real gold is going to make it through the crash. The 100 ounces of paper gold is not going to survive. Right? And it will not be, there will not be a transfer of wealth so much as the destruction of wealth. It will be the destruction of paper wealth. And if it were just going to be a transfer, it wouldn't be a bad thing. You know, in the Bible, we have a jubilee every 50 years in the Old Testament where all of the debt is canceled every 50 years. That didn't hurt back in those days because they did not have a debt-based monetary system. Their money was gold, silver, cattle, whatever. It was tangible. And if I loaned 10 ounces of gold to Melody, and we came to the Jubilee, and Melody hadn't paid me back yet, the 10-ounce, that debt was just canceled. All right? I was out 10 ounces of gold, but Melody, she got over. She has 10 ounces of gold that she got from me. But the point, the larger point, is the 10 ounces still exists. It's there in our economy, and we can still use those 10 ounces, those assets, we can still use them to continue to do business. The only thing that really happened when they canceled the debt every 50 years is the oligarchy was prevented from getting richer and richer and richer. The really rich people had to take a hit every 50 years, and they lost some of their wealth, but the wealth was still there in the community. This time around, because we have paper debt instruments, when the crash hits, those paper debt instruments are going to become worthless, or nearly so. All right? And that wealth is not simply going to be transferred. It is going to be destroyed. You know, I've said this repeatedly. The total debt is too enormous to ever be repaid and therefore won't be paid in full or even by half. And for every debt, there's a correlative paper debt instrument like a U.S. or corporate bond, stock, pension fund, bank account, etc., that is treated as an asset that's really not. And when it comes obvious, when it becomes obvious and irrefutable that the debt can't be paid, which has been true for years, but it hasn't been perceived yet, the debt will be canceled, either by hyperinflation or by express repudiation. But either way, when the debt is canceled, the value of most paper debt instruments, like U.S. bonds, will not simply be transferred to someone else. You're going to be able to go out a bond that says, suppose you had a bond for $100,000. You're not going to sell that bond for $10,000 and to somebody who's going to get $100,000 return. You're going to sell it maybe for $10,000 to somebody else who might get, he might make $1,000, $2,000 off of it, but he's not going to get $100,000 ever for the bond. The bond can't be paid. The value, the wealth will not simply be transferred from one man who's having a hard time to somebody else who's got some gold and is able to pay for it. The value of the paper debt instrument will be destroyed, not transferred, destroyed. And there's the great damage. There is the great threat. Again, they canceled debt every 50 years in the Old Testament. But it didn't hurt. It wasn't a big problem, all right, because the assets were still available to the community. But you cancel the debt this time, it's going to destroy the paper debt instruments that are laying in your pension funds, that are going to support your retirement, that are laying in the bank vaults, that are used as collateral to justify making loans to people to buy, you know, new cars, new homes, new whatever, new appliances, remodeling. That all disappears. That paper wealth will cease to exist. Don't just go from Bob to Jane. It's going to disappear, and therefore we can't. This is part of the great dilemma that we face right now. The debt is so great that it can't be repaid, and it's not going to be repaid. It's mathematically impossible. We're just not. It's not going to happen. The debt can't be paid, but it can't be canceled either, because if we do, we wipe out a correlative sum of paper wealth that's in the banks and in the system. We can't, if we have $20 trillion in, you know, the national debt that they admit to. All right, fine, cancel the debt, $20 trillion. Yay, we don't have any more debt. But yay, we also lost $20 trillion in paper assets. Now what? Can our banking system withstand that loss? I don't think it can. I don't think the world banking system can withstand a loss of $20 trillion. But we're going to see something like that before this is done. And this is the way I sit back and I, you know, stay away from paper. I know you have to work with it. There's things you have to do with paper and there's that sort of thing. But you need, in my opinion, you need to minimize your exposure to paper debt instruments and concentrate on preserving your wealth. Not just increasing it, but preserving it against what a lot of people get a lot of reports, and they seem to be increasing in number and frequency. Uh-oh, we're on the verge of some sort of a serious market collapse, market decline. The number of reports seem to be increasing. That doesn't prove anything, but it's one of the things that's disturbing, and it makes you be more wary, more alert. What are you going to do? Better get hold of something tangible to store your wealth. What's next, Melody?
Well, I'm not going to disagree with you there. Today, I read some numbers about OPEC. We talked about OPEC earlier this week, about the agreement between the Saudis and Russia about perhaps cutting their production and so forth. And, you know, it was, you know, up in the air whether they would follow through with any of their so-called planned production cuts and so forth. Today, I saw that OPEC in September, when they agreed to cut crude production with the rest of the OPEC members, they actually pumped a record amount of oil. So in one hand, they were going to cut crude production. On the other hand, They pumped a record amount. The oil cartel increased its crude production to nearly 33.4 million barrels a day in September. And this was a new output record and a 1.3 million barrels above last year's daily production. But also what I found interesting is that the increase was actually fueled by Iraq, Nigeria, and Libya, which, you know, they've all suffered production disruptions because of the conflict or terrorism. Iraq's output soared by 100,000 barrels over the previous month to 4.5 million barrels a day. Nigeria and Libya also added roughly 100,000 barrels a day to their production. So if the Saudis, if OPEC is saying, you know, we're going to cut production, here you have these countries that are, what, going against what OPEC is telling them that they all needed to do. I just found that a little interesting that they're sort of looking out for themselves.
Of course they are, but yeah. I think what they may be doing is if we've got OPEC together and say, okay, we're going to reach an agreement on December 1st to cut our oil production, then everybody else is saying, and we're going to cut it by a fixed amount based on whatever our production is on December, on November 30th.
Today.
Okay? So everybody's saying, okay, amp up now so we can be producing as much as possible on November 30th, and then we'll get a fat. We won't really have to cut our production. If we can amp up now, we can agree to, say, a 30% reduction.
Well, if we amp up
30% in the meantime, we're as good as we are right now.
Well, I'm not sure what the production cuts would, you know,
I understand.
Initially start from, you know. So, but again, it just goes to show you how difficult it's going to be for them to finalize its decision to cut production. And also what I thought it was interesting, and this is why we've seen the oil prices move up slightly. You know, I mean, it was over 50 for a while. It's starting to come back down. But where is this oil going? And China's probably buying at a lot lower prices coming from those countries as they're increasing their production. But the strategy for OPEC, it seems like it worked. OPEC now produces just under 35% of crude oil globally compared to a low of 32.6 in April. So the low prices have been hurting the oil production nations, but they've been able to get a bigger share of it actually worked. They got a bigger share of the market. So maybe people don't think, you know, 3% is a lot, but I would think it would be in two years.
Too much oil right now compared to the demand. That's the problem they have. And that means there's
somebody's
too many producers, and these people are all at each other's throats, and they're desperate. They're like Venezuela, or they're not like Venezuela just yet, but they are to some degree. Venezuela's going under because nobody needs their oil to the same extent that they did a few years ago. Same thing's happening to the rest of these countries. They've got to sell that oil in order to hold their system together. You know, it's like our government that has made promises that we're going to provide Medicare and Social Security and the rest of that sort of thing. Well, and it was presumed that we would never see a time when we wouldn't be able to keep those promises. But in fact, evidence is mounting that those promises can't be kept. Now what's government going to do? They're going to be desperate. They're going to be willing to break laws. They're going to be willing to violate confidences and betray people and betray people's trust in us. They'll do anything they can to try to hold the system together. And the same thing going on in Saudi Arabia and the rest of the oil-producing nations. They depend on this oil. They depend on the promises. And if they can't keep the promises, they know they'll face turmoil within their own countries. They don't want it, and therefore they are, you know. I wouldn't be surprised to see war break out for the purpose of destroying some of the oil suppliers. All right? Just take them off the board. That's all. Then the price of oil go back up. I wouldn't be surprised to see it happen. Is it going to happen? I'm not going to make that prediction, but I'm still sitting there saying it wouldn't surprise me. How are you going? You're not going to get these people to agree. Oh yeah, they're going to promise they're going to cut their oil production,
as if they're going to keep
their promise to stop producing and impose the kind of limits that OPEC is talking about.
It's just a nest of thieves. And you're right. So they leave, you know, so they get kicked out of OPEC. They get to go on their own. They get to sell to anybody at any price. So anyway, there's the end, Al.
That's the end for today. Melody and I will be back tomorrow on Financial Survival. Hope you tune in at that time. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, Todd, the producer. Bye-bye, folks.
Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.